But first, how does our tongue recognise a taste we like or dislike? Rebecca Ford is Assistant Professor of Sensory Science at the University of Nottingham. She's with us now. So Rebecca, talk me through it. When I eat something, when I'm munching on a bar of chocolate, how do I actually sense that lovely taste?
Well, it's no surprise that it's all happening in your mouth, but it probably would be quite surprising to you that there are only just five basic tastes. So, for example, with your chocolate, it'll be the sweetness and the bitterness that are probably the most apparent. And if you look at your tongue in the mirror, you can see lots of little tiny bumps along your tongue. They're less red in colour to the rest of your tongue, and you've got a lot of them at the very tongue tip, the anterior part of the tongue. And these papillae, they house taste buds. So taste buds are the term that we commonly know of. And within those taste buds, we have lots of taste receptor cells. As you chew your chocolate, the tastants, so the sweetness from the sugars and the bitter compounds, they become dissolved in the saliva. These different compounds, they enter the taste pore of the taste bud on the tongue. So there's a little taste pore. So as they get dissolved in the saliva, they have to enter that taste pore. And then there's a cascade of different reactions then that happens within the taste cell itself. And that then sends a neural impulse up the nerves and then finally to the brain, to the gustatory cortex. And gustatory is the scientific name for taste, essentially.
Right, so there's the things we can see when we go in front of the mirror, and they house these taste buds, which then themselves house these little cells which respond to the various five tastes.
That's exactly right.
And so what's the difference between tasting something you like or you don't like?
So, well, we're actually all born with kind of innate preferences, you know, to sense out things that are nutritive and non-nutritive. And, you know, for example, things that might be poisonous. But essentially, as we grow up and we learn these different things, what we like and what we dislike is very much about the brain. So we detect things in the mouth, but our brain then interprets those responses in terms of what we like and what we dislike.
And you mentioned the tasting part is very much happening on the tongue, but the nose is involved as well. So what role does smell play?
Yeah, it's so important, actually, and more important than probably people realise. So it's what we call sort of taste-aroma interactions. And normally when you're consuming some food, you very, very rarely would just have taste in isolation on its own, unless you were just to add a teaspoon of sugar into water, for example. So if we take the example of a strawberry, as you consume that strawberry, as you're chewing it, you're getting sugars released, you're getting acids being released, and they're sensed, of course, in the mouth. But what's happening exactly the same time as you're chewing, the aroma compounds are actually becoming airborne and they're getting transported up to your olfactory bulb, which is very high up in your nose at the base of your brain. And the olfactory bulb senses the different aromas. And this is all happening at exactly the same time. So your brain tells you it's all happening in your mouth. It's something that's called oral referral. And this is one of the reasons why when you've got a cold, nothing tastes quite right, because it's all happening in the brain. And it's exactly the same thing. You know, when you have one of those beautiful smelling fruit teas, they smell absolutely amazing. They've got this lovely strawberry aroma. When you drink it, it's just not quite right. And that's because the sugar and the acids aren't there.
I've always wondered that. Fruit tea always smells so good and then you taste it and it's just a bit bland, isn't it?
Of course, you've got all the aroma there, you've just not got the taste. So they're so important. They go hand in hand.
Right. And so how do we tell one taste from another?
Well, the majority of the evidence shows that each taste receptor cell is specifically tuned. So it has one taste receptor on its membrane, some that are capable of detecting sweetness, those are capable of detecting bitterness, umami, salty, sourness. So contrary to what you might have been taught at school, where there are distinct parts of the tongue that are responsible for responding to different tastes, that is completely incorrect. So within each of our taste buds, we have taste receptor cells that are specifically tuned to each one of the tastes, but we have all of those taste receptor cells within a taste bud. So essentially, there isn't that localization that we were taught when we were at school. That's just down to a miscommunication of information. Unfortunately, a paper that was published that was miscommunicating some findings.
I remember that taste map well and being and thinking it was a bit strange when you tasted sweets at different spots in your tongue and thinking, this doesn't seem quite right. And so what's in something to make your tongue respond and say, this is bitter? Is it a different chemical or is it the shape of them? What's different about them?
Exactly. It's different chemical compounds. So, for example, caffeine that's in coffee, quinine that's in tonic water, and then we have things like isoalpha acids that are in beer. There are different chemical compounds, and we have different bitter receptors all capable of actually, you know, receiving that information from those different chemical compounds and then sending those signals to the brain, telling us that it's a bitter compound. Whereas we tend to use taste as a term to describe everything that we're experiencing in our mouth when we consume things, which is a very complex scenario of lots of different signals that are actually being sent to the brain concurrently. So we have taste being one of them. We have all those aromas that we were talking about being sent to the olfactory bulb in the nose. We also have all these texture receptors that are innervated all over the tongue, the soft palate as well. And they're sending lots of different signals about the creaminess, the thickness, maybe the spiciness. And of course, we have temperature receptors as well that give us information about the temperature of the food or drink.
And those five tastes you mentioned, bitter, salty, sweet, sour, and umami. Umami is a brilliant word, but are those the only five tastes there are? Is that everything?
Well, at the moment, yes. But for something to be classified as a taste, it's got to be distinct from the other taste. So it's got to have stimuli that are responsible from a taste that's very different to the others. There's got to be taste receptors that are able to send a signal to the brain. And there's got to be a perceptual independence from all the other taste qualities. So it's got to be clearly identifiable, essentially. And all of those five basic tastes tick all of those boxes. Now, there are some other ones that have got a lot of evidence to suggest that they would be the candidates for the six basic taste. For example, fatty acids, carbohydrates, and this wonderful sounding taste that we know called kakumi.
And another great word.
It is. And that really is an example of something that people describe as kind of a rich taste. It's almost where the way people describe it is like a mouthfeel. But it's not very easily defined. And because it's not clearly identifiable, that's one of the reasons why we're struggling to, at the moment, to have enough data to say that it really ticks all of those boxes. Fatty acids, carbohydrates, again, none of them quite meet all this criteria, although there's a lot of scientific evidence that ticks some of those boxes.
So, coming to a tongue near you, a brand new taste potentially. That's all made me very hungry. Rebecca Ford, thank you very much.
Thank you.